everyone. I am Caroline Hines from Critic and Journalist, and this is one of my interviews that I'll be doing for K-Crush American Magazine, which I cover the Busan International Short Film Festival. And today I'm very excited to talk to the filmmaker that I have with me, Hyunmin Cho, to talk about his film Apocalypse Runner Complete Edition. And this film is a short film. It was in the Death of Cinema program, and I found it very interesting because as a film critic and a journalist, I felt this film was speaking to me and also making fun of me and my profession. So I was like, I have to speak to the filmmaker because I'm like this filmmaker gets me, and also my acerbic wit and like all and pokes fun, I think, at cinema, and particularly a lot of tropes that are found in Korean cinema. So I'm so happy to have Hyunmin to talk with me today. So as usual, before I begin my full interviews, I like to have my guests say a bit about themselves. So Hyunmin, can you say a bit about yourself and what got you into filmmaking?
Carrie, thank you for a great intro. So I'm Hyunmin Cho from South Korea. I'm an independent film director and I'm working as a script writer now. And exact 1 week ago, my first book got published. So I became I became a sci-fi writer now. Mm. Yeah, yeah, no, a novel. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chikayo, yeah. So congrats on that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, like
that's yeah. Exactly. That's insane. Your cocktail is very fluffy. So mm-hmm. The first thing I have to ask you about this film is, as I said in the intro, it's clearly talking about film critics and how mm-hmm. film critics can become or can be very overly critical, especially from the perspective of a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And me as a film critic, I'm always trying to, when I do critiques of films or even shows, I'm always trying to be as objective as possible. And not, even when I'm writing a review, like even if it's for a film that I don't like, I try to be as objective and as respectful as possible. But there are, there are times where filmmakers do talk about getting negative reviews, you know, and they talk about negative reviews as saying, you know, like the writer, the critic doesn't understand the film, or the critic can be too mean. So I want you first to talk about as becoming a filmmaker and making the choice to become a filmmaker. Like, what were your thoughts on the possibility of receiving negative reviews? Because no one likes to be judged, you know, no one likes their art to be judged. And when you're going into a field like film, you do have to keep in mind that you're going to be judged by film critics and also by your audience. So talk about that perspective of filmmaking first, like going into becoming a filmmaker and thinking and preparing yourself to be judged.
I will let her out.
Like, what is your cat's name? I have to ask.
So she's she has a name from the movie, the Mad Max Fury Road. So she's name is Furiosa. Yeah.
Oh.
I call her shortly Fury. Yeah. Okay. So being judged is sometimes terrifying, and the film school was a long-term experiences of being judged like 4 years long, before, like a few years ago, I personally thought that I changed my mind like 3 years ago. Before that, I felt so connected with my work, like film and my writing. So like when my stuff got the compliment, then the me, the connective me, also got raised, like I can convince myself, like, oh, my work is being getting compliments, so I am a good filmmaker. I'm relieved. And then when it didn't happen, like I'm bad. Like, how can I be possible to make something meaningful again? And so connected, like to my self. What is this?
Self-confidence.
Yeah. Self-confidence. But 3 years ago, like I started dividing me from the work. Like, So these days I take my work like my child. Mm. It's like, let's say this, like there can be two versions of parents. Like version number one, when my child are getting compliments from others, you're a good girl or good boy, like, wow, like you're so smart and you're so good, like. And then the version number one, parents, like, oh, my child is getting compliment because I raised that kid well. I'm the real good and I'm the real great one. I'm the great parent. And then version number two is like, okay, my kids are getting compliments from others, but that's what these kids mm-hmm. earned by herself or himself. I raised this kid, but this kid achieved it by herself or himself. So like this. So and then the getting more comfortable by being judged, and then actually it helps me a lot when I'm creating something. Yeah, mm. when writing. Yeah, I can say that. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. You have to distance yourself from the project once it's completed, because like you're sending this story, which is, as I love the analogy of a parent and a child, because parents mm-hmm. can only do so much for their kids. You know, they can only raise them. Mm-hmm. And while they're at mm-hmm. home, you know, they can kind of control what they do and watch what they say. But once they leave the house, if they go to school, if they're adults, mm-hmm. the parent can't watch and see everything they do. You know, the child has to make their own decisions. And while film is not animate, it's not like a living, it kind of is like a living, breathing thing. Like once you make a film and it's finished editing and you release it, like whether it's in a theater or for a film festival, you've completed your part and it's up to the audience to receive this film however they want. You know, you can't control how the audience perceives your film. You know, you can only hope that the audience understands your story. You can only hope that the audience sees where you were, like what you were intending, but you can't control. The thing with film, that one of the things that I love about film is like, even if everyone loves a film, they'll love something different. You know, like, they won't love it for exactly the same reasons, right? Like for instance, using this film, Apocalypse Runner, like I am a film critic and I love it because of how you spoke about film criticism, you know, and about the personal toll that film criticism takes on film critics. But someone who isn't a film critic, like for instance, another filmmaker or an actor or an editor, can love the different aspects of your film and your story. So I really love the analogy you use of a parent and a child and having to learn to distance yourself from your art. Because yes, your art is you and you are your art, but you also have to, for your own mental well-being, have to protect yourself and not let it affect your self-confidence to the point that you don't make a story another story, you know? And you have to learn to take the criticism as a learning experience, you know? Because that's how I see film, at my work as a film critic. And my work as a film critic is not only to help the audience see the films and the stories from a different perspective, but it's from a learning experience for me. Every time I do an interview, every time I write a piece, an article, I'm learning more about the film industry. I'm also learning more about myself as a critic, but also as a person who just loves some cinema for the fact of it. And in talking about separating, like I think this is like the perfect way to start talking about the film itself, because this character, Park Dong-sik, he is a film critic, and his problem within this film is that he's not able to separate himself from his work. Your character is kind of like your character is kind of like an example of that, where he hasn't learned to do what you learned to do. You know, he hasn't learned to separate himself. He hasn't learned how to separate Dong Shik from Dong Shik the critic, and that messed with his identity and his perception of reality. So talk about creating this story, because I just love the concept of it, of centering a film about a film critic. That does not happen often. So just talk about making your film about a film critic, first of all.
I can say a few things about the reason I made this story. So the number one is, I think the most beautiful thing about film, the cinema, after imaging is the most important effect that allows imagery, just a static imagery, turning into the moving imagery, right?
Right.
So yeah. So after and then I saw it's beautiful because this first imagery is not like making the first imagery exist as long as this image wanted. So the after image is like a concept of existing by disappearing. So and then this connecting after image connecting, this only happens when someone is watching, because it's an illusion from our eyes and then our brain. So it was beautiful. So if someone doesn't watching a movie, a video or cinema film, that's the number of 24 static images not moving. So I can say like it's similar with the whole film. So when the film is over, and then it connected with someone else's who watching this film, like audience or film critic. So when film is finished, the after image came to the audience, and then it's like restarted in someone's mind. Yeah. So I thought it's like connecting. Like so. Yeah. Okay. So long story short.
No, I understand what you're saying completely.
Yeah. Film over, and then audience connecting is it looks like similar with after imaging. This image done, and the after image like this. Yeah, so I wanted to talk about the beautifulness of this. Yeah. So this was number one. Yeah. Even the character mentioned about something like that, right? The after image, and then wow. So. And number two, reason number two was there's some movie, genre movie, like Scream or Zombieland, which the main character of the movie knows about the rules of that genre. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Scream. Yeah, Scream. The main character of the Scream knows about the rules of a horror movie. So, so the character like use that rules to survive. And then like Zombieland. The main character knows about the rules of zombie movie. So like always do the cardio, like zombie slow. So running fast, we can beat zombie like that. So twisting the plot of genre was so interesting to me, but I haven't seen that the movie with the main character who knows well about the movie's rule itself. Like if this is a movie, like when I got thirsty, I need the water, I'm in the movie, how can I get the water? Okay, let's be sad. Like when the people are sad, there's always raining, so I'm crying, and then there's a raining, and then I got water. Like I wanted to watch those type of the scene from my movie. So I wanted to. And then I found out that the film critic would be the perfect the profession to make those scenes. Yeah. So that was the reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go. We'll talk a bit more about both those. The first one. So I understand what you're saying perfectly about the after image, because film is one of the. It's probably the only medium that after it's over, we still think about it. You know, we still visualize it years after. And sometimes you can see a film once, but like the images and even the dialogue stays with you long after you've seen it. And so it's like there's the after image in the film, but then the film itself makes an imprint on the audience itself, right? And so I understand perfectly what you mean, because it's those imprints, those, and sometimes it's like, whether you love a film or not, and sometimes even if you don't love a film, like sometimes if you have so very strong emotional responses to these films, that's what stays with you, you know, like whether it's a horror film, whether it's an action, whether it's a romance or, you know, a drama, like these images stay with us, the emotional connections that we attach to these images stay with us. I love that you use that one of the reasons for creating the film, because that's something that Dongshik says a lot, and that's mentioned a few times in the film where he talks about the fade out, you know, where he feels like in the world, like if the camera fades out, if the story fades out, he's going to cease existing. You know, that he's no longer going to be a part of this story, that and he's wondering what's going to happen next, you know, but he's also kind of commenting on how a lot of filmmakers use the fade out as almost as a way of maybe not completing a story or completing a scene, where it'd be like, okay, we don't know what to do, so we'll fade it out and then start over and then start start somewhere else. So like what he said was like, not the fade out. I said the same thing. It was in the cinema and I said, not the fade out. And so I thought that was, it was both very funny, but also very poignant in how you're associating the way how once the story is over or the fade out, how we, the audience or the critic can be left wondering what's next. You know, like a lot of times we watch a film and be like, oh, we need to have a sequel because I need to know what happens next. You know, and it happens a lot with particular genres of films. And I will talk about the different genres of films that you touched on in Apocalypse Runner. But then for your second point, where you're talking about making it about a critic and about someone whose profession you thought was perfect for this story, since I saw this film at the festival, I've been trying to rack my brain to think of if I've personally ever seen a story about a film critic, and I honestly can't, or, you know, or where the film critic is centered, and making it about someone who understands the rules of filmmaking, you know. And I love films, like you mentioned Zombieland and also Scream, both films that I've seen, and both films that talk about understanding the rules of survival in these situations. You know, if you're in a zombie apocalypse, the rule number one, never break up, stay together in a group, everyone has a plan, stick to the plan. One of my reasons why I love Train to Busan, everyone sticks to the plan. Like Train to Busan is my all-time favorite horror movie, and like, one of the reasons I love it is because they came up with a plan and they stuck they stuck to the plan. So, and then now for talking about having a film critic of someone who understands the rules of not only filmmaking, but why filmmakers do why they do what they do in a way that regular audience members won't. That's his way of survival. You mentioned him being sad means that the rain is going to start falling, because many filmmakers, and not just filmmakers, but writers of novels and books use rain as a symbol of being sad, you know, as a symbol of being depressed, as a symbol of being, you know, feeling lost. So he's like, if I need to get sustenance in this world, I'm going to be as emotional as I can. I'm going to be as sad as I can so that I can get water. And then he talks, and then one of my favorite things, again, we're going to talk about genres, is the sword fighting, the rules of sword fighting. You know, if the hero or the protagonist closes his sword first, he's the winner, even if it doesn't make any sense. Like closing the sword and putting it in the scabbard means you win. So I love that you use that. You use those two main points as reason to create the film. So now we're going to talk about the genres. So this film has, I think, Probably three or four main genres. There's like action, of course. There's the samurai fighter, and our if is as a Korean film, it would be, you know, like sword fighters and like probably the Joseon or the Silla era, you know. Then there's like a Western element to it. And then there's the almost a bit of a psychological aspect, but that kind of comes on later in the film where it talks about mental illness and that kind of stuff. So I love how you put all of these different genres. And you mentioned that your cast name is Fury after Mad Max Fury Road, but that's one of the, and like seeing that in the cinematography, it really comes through in the cinematography. And like one scene in particular, there's like the night scene, which is like bathed in blue. And that did make me think of like Mad Max, but you have all of these different elements. So when you're creating your story, how did you decide what genres of films you wanted to touch or you wanted to highlight?
Okay. So I guess I started with a comedy, I guess. I thought like, okay, let's make a comedy because like the scene we mentioned about is kind of funny, like with using sword like this, and I can win, like this concept is kind of funny. So the comedy was the first, and then when I came an idea about the psychological twist of the whole plot. So I personally like the movies with a big psychological plot twist in the plot, like Beautiful Mind, like from Ron Howard, like that. Yeah, like, or Fight Club, David Fincher, like that. Some main character suddenly realized that something that character has been experienced was not the real, like that. So I wanted to make those kind of plot twist using psychological concept. And then I have to decide, okay, so if there's an illusion world, and then there must be the real world. And so I should decide which world it should be, the illusion world. It came after deciding the full psychological twist. Yeah, so I should decide a different genre. And then I thought like, okay, this guy, the main character, Dong Sik, he made this illusion world in his head. And then it came from the like hating himself. I got everything wrong, and then she left, my beloved wife left because, or like I failed because I lost the sense about the dividing, the separating reality from the film. So he hate himself and he's lost in his mind creating world. So I wanted to make a wanderer, he is a wanderer. Then I should film the maid because he got lost. And then I guess there's a two method of creating maids. The first one is the setting walls and then the making the complex maid. And the second method of creating maid is breaking all the world, and then there's only desert. When there's a desert, we can't find a way, and that's the another maze. So the first scene of this movie was desert. It shows he lost his way in his mind, and then the genre, the post-apocalyptic genre, follows. So the most important the movie that I wanted to show the respect and my love homage was actually the Six String Samurai. Yeah. you watched that movie?
I've heard of it. So I'm a huge like action fan, and I'm a huge fan of like samurai films. Like I'm, you know, everyone talks about Kurosawa and those kind of films. But I love the references that you put into like samurai films into this, because It kind of makes sense to me because samurai films, those particular genre films, especially the ones from like the 70s and the 60s and the 80s, are very poetic in the way they're filmed. You know, like they're very, it's not just about the action, it's about telling a story. And, you know, and even the way they move tells a story. And it made perfect sense because even before it was revealed at the end, I remember I was sitting in the theater and I thought, oh, the pen is mightier than the sword. And as a critic, he had put down his pen. So it made sense in my head. Of course, he's going to pick up a sword because he's battling within himself, you know. And as you're saying, he hated himself. So he's going to pick up the opposite of a pen, you know, which is a sword. Yeah. So he's going to go for a samurai sword, which is like the most deadly form of a sword. And it's also the most poetic version of a sword, I guess you could say, because they're so lethal, but they're also beautifully made. So I love that you reference like those kind of films and in within Apocalyptic Runner.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So pens are mightier than the sword. There's a saying. So like when someone write like harsh things about some movie or someone, then we can hurt that person, right, by writing. So swinging sword is a fierce version of hurting someone by writing, and then someone is also the main character himself, like that. Yeah. So yeah. So I guess you say you got the point. Yeah, you said yeah.
Yeah, and one of the other aspects. So we talked a bit about samurai being an influence for this film. I want to talk about something that I was puzzled by, and I'm so happy that I'm actually getting to talk to, because it was something I wish I was hoping to get to ask another filmmaker about. So I find particularly in Asian films, but it's not just in Asian film, it happens in like films from like all over, but particularly if you have a male director, if it's a story about this man who was lost, you know, like he's the Lone Ranger essentially, and he's lonely, he's bitter, he's sad, he's depressed, he's kind of like doesn't care about the world or care about himself anymore. He always meets a young teenage girl, and it's referenced in the film. And when he was like, oh, it's a cliche, not even worth analyzing, I laughed out loud because I was like, yes. There's films like The Man from Nowhere, you know, which is one of my favorite action films. And then there's a film that came out recently by Jung Woo-sung, A Man of Reason, there's a whole bunch of other films where it's the lone man who is like sad and depressed, and he has this young teenage girl who just basically comes into his life, whether he has to save her or she has to save him. And I was like, I have to ask a filmmaker about this. Why is it always a young girl one? And like, what is it with this story about, what is it about having a young girl be the person to maybe perhaps get this older man to look at life differently? I was wondering, why can't it be a teenage boy? You know, why can't he learn about seeing life differently from a young man? You know, why is it always a girl? So I wanted to ask you that because I was like, I must ask that.
Okay, so for example, there's a movie like The Road, like there's a father and a young boy, right? A similar relationship, but boy. And then there's a like a Logan, the Marvel, the X-Men movie, Logan. There's a the Wanderer, Lone Ranger guy, and then protecting with the younger, actually the different version of himself, like a similar daughter. And then there's a lot of movie that, like you mentioned, like the mature main wanderer with a young girl. And then actually there's the six-string samurai is the Lone Ranger, like became a friend with the young boy. So actually it doesn't matter if the gender exchange. So the first reason I chose the make the second character Eunsoo younger than him was it reminds him the love about cinema from the past. Like we growing up means like when we recall our past, and then like when we realize that when I was younger, I like drawing, or I like playing guitar, and I like nature, like so. But as growing up, I lost so many things I liked when I was a little kid, right? So and then this main character Dongsik, the lost his love about cinema because the crazy love about cinema ruined everything. So he hate himself and he hate cinema. So and then this girl Eunsu reminds of him the lost love about cinema. So that's the reason make her younger than him. That was the first. And then choosing her her gender as a woman was the first was just making diverse, because like I wanted to make it diverse. And then I guess it's from the Ghibli movie, I guess. Like when I was a teenager and younger, I grew up with watching lots of Ghibli animation. And then from the Ghibli animation, there's always the main character is a young girl. Mm-hmm. Young girl who is brave and then who is facing the big world, the big different world, like Spirited Away or Totoro or the
Owl's Moving Castle.
Yeah. Like I can't figure out the English title, but they always face the harsh different world from reality they once belonged, and then they like so brave, they did so many adventures, and then they returned. So, when I was a teenager, I saw I watched that movies, and then I was like, wow, like I guess so. That was the reason that I wanted to make another young brave girl facing the apocalyptic world, and then like being brave and then acting brave. Yeah, I guess it came from the Ghibli female young girl main characters. Yeah.
Right. So, and speaking about the characters and like them being an older man and a younger girl, and like I see what you mean, because, and I haven't thought about it that way before, but yeah, it does make sense to have I see the inspiration for the Studio Ghibli. Like everyone loves his films, and like they're so well known, but it's always been interesting that his films center a young girl going on all of these adventures and finding not only herself, but also inspiring all these other characters. And your film is like that, because it's like this character is special in that she loves film, and she's teaching him to love film again and to perhaps see film a different way. But she's also asking him to teach her the rules of film, you know. And but there's also a danger in that he could get lost in over analyzing film again. So that's the thing, like. They're like, for so many artists, and it's a thing where people say like artists are very intense thinkers, and they can get lost in their work. And it's necessary to take a break. You know, you need to step back and say, I'm getting too lost in this work. And it's not only about getting lost psychologically, but it's also emotionally, where like you become cynical. Like, as you're saying, like when we're younger, we look at things way more positively. But as we grow older and we lose things, we become more cynical and we become more jaded and start to doubt the world and doubt ourselves. And for this critic, he's doubting his ability as a critic. You know, he's doubting his ability as a husband. You know, like he failed his wife, so he's doubting his place as a man as well, and like his ability to protect this young girl. And she's like saying, "You at least have to try." So that's one of the things I really like about your film, where it's really about showing the internal struggles of both of these characters. You know, like you still have to remember this girl, she's still young, you know, like she still does things that could be potentially dangerous in this world, you know, and while she's asking him to see the world and analyze film again, because this is how he works and he functions, there's a danger in that, you know, like there's a danger that he could get lost in this for himself. So talk a bit about casting your characters, because these characters have to work very well. So I know the main male actor, So Young-woo, like I've seen him in other films and dramas as well. And I don't think I've seen Chae So-young, who plays Eun-soo. Yeah, I don't think I've seen her before. So talk about casting them for these characters and what made you decide to have them play these particular characters.
Okay, so the actor who played main character Dong-sik, Hyun-woo, my previous short film, I worked with him at the film also. Yeah, it was the title of the film was 60 Theater, and then the Hyun-woo's role from the film was King Arthur. Yeah, so he was the King Arthur on the journey finding the Holy Grail. And then I liked his acting so much, and then I wanted to work with him again. So that was the another reason that I made this movie. And then so there's a lot of the exaggerated like acting in my movie, like almost like a comic book. And then there must be something like there also the acting that really serious is also included. So Hyun-woo Seo has the right wide range of acting. So like he could do the serious and the realistic acting, and also like exaggerated like comic acting. And then I loved it so much. Yeah. So that was the reason I cast him. I worked with him. Yeah. And then the female actor who played the Eun-soo, the young girl facing the world, a harsh world. His name is Seo-yeon, Choi Seo-yeon. Yeah, so Seo-yeon Choi. And she was 14, I don't know, 14 at that time, 13 at that time. So really, she was really young. And then I wanted to cast, so it was possible that casting the like adult who looks young, and then let her play like a teenager acting, it was also possible. But like I said, this Eun-soo character is himself, but lost, still having the lost love of cinema. So it's also himself, but different versions. So I wanted to cast the actual teenager to play that role. So I met the teenager actor at the time, the female actor, like over 40 people, I guess. And then she has a sense about the comic book. Yeah, she read a bunch of comic books, so we could talk. We communicate with that. That's having that sense. Yeah. And then his image is also suit with the suit with Eun-soo that I have imagined. So that was the reason. Yeah, I worked with her.
Okay. For Hyun-woo, you said something that I thought was very interesting, where like you said in your previous film, he played King Arthur in search of the Holy Grail. I thought it was kind of funny because in this new film, Dong-sik is coming kind of the same way. His character is in search of his holy grail of filmmaking, you know, and I kind of think that's an interesting parallel in the characters. And also he has an extremely wide range as a performer. Like he can do quick changes in his emotions very quickly. Like he goes from comedic to very sad, and then very angry and intense very quickly. And all of those things coming to play in this film, like this character, he's so emotionally disconnected from reality. He's going through all of these extreme emotions very quickly, you know, and especially when he's talking about film, like he has all of these intense emotions about film. Like he loves film, maybe even just a bit too much. You know, like maybe he loves film just a bit too much, and that's probably why he is the way he is. And that's why he disconnected from reality and started seeing the world as a film, because that was the only way he could relate to people and to the story. So I wanted to ask you about now in talking about relating to the story. So there's the villain of the story, and there is the philosopher king. And the philosopher king is this king who has banished art, you know, film and poems and books and poetry and that kind of stuff. And like, and I thought it was, I don't know if you had intended it, but like, I live in Canada right now, and but it's in America, like there's so many issues with regards to free speech, you know, and how, and censorship, you know, and like people trying to censor art. People are trying to censor stories by Black people and other people of color and like people from like the LGBTQ plus community. So like, it was, that was another thing that really wanted me to talk to, because this is something that has happened throughout the history of the world, you know, like politicians, kings and queens, prime ministers, ministers abolishing the freedom, not only freedom of speech, but destroying art. You know, and I know like South Korea has had a history of that, not only with during the Japanese occupation, but during the dictatorship and just afterwards, where I can't remember the name, but it was the president before President Moon, I believe, where like she blacklisted a lot of filmmakers and a lot of artists, you know, and I wanted to ask you if that was kind of something you were in a very subtle, but in a very smart way, talking about how art can be criminalized, you know, how, and the people who talk about this art, like filmmakers and writers and critics and the people and artists and the people who create this art and who love this art are chased, you know, are criminalized and then made to feel like they don't belong in society, you know, and that's kind of where Noel Shaikh is, like he's looked at as a criminal for loving art, for loving film. So I wanted to know if that was kind of like what you were intending to discuss in that particular aspect of like the philosopher king and banishing the tapes and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so philosopher king. Yeah, before answering that question, would you mind like if I show you something? Like,
oh, sure, go ahead.
yeah, like because you mentioned it before the question. This is the Holy Grail from
the movie. Yeah, you have a prop.
Yeah, from the movie, Holy Grail, yeah. Yeah, I have like Hyunwoo Seo was like tracing this Holy Grail in my previous film, 66. Yeah.
That's so cool. That's one of the things about working on film sets, you can take home props.
And then there's one body always next my desk, the
yes, the
Mr. Skull from the first scene of my movie.
Kind of made me think of Hamlet, you know, in Hamlet where he talks to the skull in Hamlet. I saw the skull and that was the first thing I thought of, Hamlet.
Hamlet. Like, what was it, the European tradition that putting skull and the flower and the glass and something fragile in the Vanitas image. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What happened to the top of his head? There's a hole.
Yeah, the fire, Lucifer King. Yeah, like, so he's a cinephile of love cinema, and then he got banished from the Philosopher King's territorial, and then he died. And then the camcorder from the movie, activated the fire, the solar energy.
A very cool idea, actually.
So these days the DV camcorder are getting popular again in Korea these days. And I got sword.
You have the sword. You have everything from the film.
Okay, you wanna see? Give me 10 seconds,
No, sure.
So Yeah, there's sure. Yeah, like yeah, this one from Tongsik and this one from a philosopher.
Oh my gosh.
Black and white, like yeah, like you know, like you wanna try when I do this?
You like, you automatically win the fight.
Yeah, so and the black and white, also the cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Philosopher King, like honestly, there was no political intentions. Yeah, so I can say it's also the like movie connecting like to someone, and then yeah, it can be various. It can talk others thing also. Yeah, so it's meaningful. So choosing Philosopher King, it came from Plato. So the practical reason is the if this Tongsik made the illusional world, that the most important truth about this illusion world is this world created by hating feeling of cinema. Yeah, because he lost his wife by craving too much into cinema. Like so cinema has to be not allowed in this illusional world. So there must be the villain, the final villain, antagonist, who did that, like who vanished cinema in this world. Also, that antagonist is another version of the main character Tongsik himself. Yeah,
okay.
The Eunsoo is the mind of loving cinema from the past of. Yeah, and then the Philosopher King is the his present mind, like hating cinema. So I can say this Philosopher King is like a super ego of like not allowing his unconscious thoughts about think about loving cinema, like reality and the illusional world, and Philosopher King is here, and then Eunsoo is trying Tongsik to get over up to this surface, the super ego Philosopher King, and then like reality, like, or yeah, like so Plato said the Plato hated the kind of art because he believed the most the important truth is idea, mm-hmm. And reality is just replicant of this idea, and what the artists do is also creating the minor version of replicant of this real world, like painting or carving or so. Idea similar with idea, and then minor version, and then so Plato so art is making people far away from the real truth. So I thought like if Plato came back to this modern world, and if he watches cinema and he got mad, he will be losing his mind because cinema is the movie is the perfect visual replicant of real world, right? Mm-hmm. Moving the images, so like, and then he also mentioned about the cave. He the cave, like there's a captive in the cave. They haven't seen the real world and the real sun. Born and raised and live their full life in the cave, and they watching the shadow from the outside, and watching the world. Then words, there's a moving shadow, and then this captive think that this is the real world. This shadow of human, shadow of horse, these are real world. So Plato said they should awake, and then they should awake and get out of the cave, and then they should watch actual sun and actual real world. And this cave thing he talked about reminded me of the theater. Looks like a big cave, and yeah. We are actually going into that big cave, and then we watching the exact shadow from the world. Yeah, like Plato said. So if Plato came to visit theater, she got mad again. Like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you
all insane?
Why are you gathering here inside of the big cave and watching the world from the shadow of the reality? So I thought the Plato will be the perfect antagonist of this movie. Yeah, because he will vanish the artists, and then I guess the most hateful art form for Plato must be cinema. So it matches with Dongshik hating himself and trying to hate and trying to forget and get away from cinema once he loved. Yeah, so that was the reason, yeah.
I think you look at film from a very philosophical point of view, right? Like I love that. I love that you have all of these ideas about philosophy and also human behavior and psychology, and you put it into this film. And the thing like that you're saying, and you said it, but it literally just clicked for me where you said like, we are like what Plato was talking about going into the cave. Like we go into this dark auditorium to watch these fictional stories play out on screen. Before they would be like an hour and a half. Now films are getting longer. You know, films are 2 hours, 3 hours, 4.5 hours, and we're spending more and more time in these dark caves watching these cinema and watching these stories instead of experiencing the world. And the other thing is like, and this is where Dongshik is very similar to what you're talking about, where like people become very immersed in the stories they're watching, they become lost, and they even take on the identities of watching these stories. You know, like we say we're fans, you know, but then there's like the super fans, like people like they mold their identities about being super fans of these franchises. Like for instance, like there's the MCU where people like they're super fans of the Marvel films. You know, they're super fans of anime. Cartoons, you know, and of manga, you know, of manhwa and all, and webtoons. Like they become immersed in these fictional characters, in these fictional worlds, and the only way they can relate to the outside world is if they find other people who relate to these fictional worlds, to these fictional characters the same way. And that's kind of where Dongshik is too, because Dongshik doesn't really have anyone to relate to him, you know. He can't really relate to people who see and love film the way he does. And that's how he became, I kind of saw it, that was my interpretation. Like one of the reasons he became so lost in film is that he was trying to find people who loved film as much as he did. And that's where he got them on, like in the film, he's referred to as the swordsman, you know, like his pen became so brutal, you know, his pen became so vicious and so violent that he cut down. He was just like, you know, criticizing everything, and he stopped criticizing film because he loved film, and the more he hated himself, the more he took it out on the film, you know. So like your film is like really talking about how the more we hate ourselves, the more we hate the world and the things that we love the most. So I think that's kind of a lesson where we have to learn to step back, you know. We have to learn, if we're becoming very obsessed about something, the thing that we love the most is the thing that we end up hating the most. Being a film critic, I've had the experience, the times where I think, I remember, I feel like I was like, you know what, maybe I need to step back, because I felt like I was becoming too jaded, you know, or too critical. And that is something that I worry about personally. I always wonder, am I being too critical? You know, am I being maybe too opinionated? You know, and so like something that I learned to do for myself, where is I only review films that I'm interested in, you know, that I find that I really want to know more about. So that's when I would write about a film, or I'll do interviews like talking to you where I'm really interested in the story and in wanting to know what inspired the filmmaker to make this story. And for Dongshik, he didn't get to that point, you know. He didn't learn how to step back. He didn't know how to separate himself from his art. He made film criticism his identity. And I think your film talks a lot about learning to step away. And for you, like, what did your film teach you about maybe perhaps loving filmmaking too much, or perhaps loving art too much?
Okay. What you said also can be a truth, I guess. Of course, there's always both sides. Loving too much can be a good sometimes, and can be a kind of bad sometimes. So everything has two aspects. And then actually, as I said, I'm trying to separate myself from my work. So I don't want to like I made this movie with this intention. So you, all the audience, like, hey, you should follow this lesson. This is the message I put in this movie. I don't want to do that. But the many years passed from this making this movie. So let's say about I became a different person also, like a few years ago, I made this movie, and then now. So after I made this movie, and then screening from some many film festival in Korea, and then I got the review from the audience, from the internet, or the people, I'm a little bit shocked that there are lots of audience said or even the film director said this movie is warning about watching movie to a critic side. Like I'm not denying the perspective of others than you, like. I'm also separated from the previous version of me, and so because because main character hate movie and he regret being too criticized about movie, so he hitting himself. So this director is telling the warning the no, do not be criticized about movie. Let's just enjoy the movie. Movie is just a movie. Let's do not think about too much. Like, don't be a critic. You're just audience. Just feel and just enjoy the movie. This film is talking about these simple truths. Like I hate film critic. Like, oh, I like this movie. Like, do not be film critic. Like, so many audience wrote the review like that, and I got a little bit shocked because character changes. So for me this you say the what I learned about the loving something about from this movie. This movie was like I saw this movie was about the one person who restart loving something again that he once trying to deny, so he craving into movies so much, and then he failed, and then so he started hating it. But I will work this way again, it was recovered, but the lost love of cinema again. At the end of the movie, when he woke up in the illusion and then reality, the hospital, and then okay, everything was an illusion. And then he sensed the changing editing point of the cut, like Eunsoo said, and then camcorder, and then he running into the window, and then that scene was he figured it out. So illusional world, and then outside was real world, and then outside, okay, this was all about it. I was living the movie, so he got realized that I was in the movie. Okay, so there was the layer, three layer, the illusional world, and then real world. This is psychological, the movie, and then the all about this was the movie, and then there must be some audience watching us because we are moving. Yeah, we can't move. So, I failed as a film critic. I hated movies so much, but we are in the movie. And then if this movie is not that good, we can still move because there's something, someone, it means someone still watching us. Yes. And then like the letter from the wife, from the cover of camcorder, like a cap of camcorder, like as long as I watching you, you're not insane. Because you're in the movie. Through the camcorder, then you are in the movie. So it's about the beauty about creating into someone something too far away. Like someone said, like this is lunatic, but let's look those people with the loving heart and loving sight. So at the end of the movie, he falling into the movie, and then he criticized about the who this movie, yeah, like Apocalypse Runner, like this we are still moving, and then this movie will be over, and then he even mentioned about the theme of this movie, like everything done, but we will connect with someone, we are existing by disappearing, so this is meaningful, I will make this happen. And then so main character choose to say some critic about this movie at the end of the part, but still many audiences said this director of this Apocalypse Runner must hate film critics so much, so he made this movie, but he chose to criticize this movie Apocalypse Runner at the end. But still, so I got shocked a little bit. Oh my God, I wanted to give courage, and I wanted to, so I myself was kind of someone who too craving into analyzing images from the uni days. And then many students, my fellow students said, oh, you're wrong. Like, oh, you're wrong. You should work with story more, and then so Dongsik is kind of a little bit like myself. So that was what I wanted to say. Yeah.
No, I think it's kind of funny that people read it that way, but I could kind of see, because like at the end, like you're not sure if he dies, and this is just like he's trapped in like purgatory. The first time I watched it, I was like, did he die? And is like he kind of trapped in like a purgatory of existing in this world? No. But then as you're talking, I kind of thought about it from a different perspective, where it's like he's free now, you know, like he's escaped this world, and he's left the part of him that had lost the love of film and lost the love of film criticism. He left that part of him there in the desert, and he sent off his younger self, which is Aunt Usu, and he's like, she's free now to grow up again, you know, to find love, to find the love of film again. So like that part of him is alive and well, and she's like, she's existing now. So I didn't think about it that way, but as you were talking, I'm like, okay, now I see where you're going with it. But it's kind of funny that I think a lot of people have the misconception that filmmakers don't like film critics, and I sometimes wonder are the filmmakers and directors take our work that we do as film critics, and you're going to take it personally, because like you're critiquing your work, and like no one likes to have their work critiqued. And like even as a writer, I get people telling me, making comments about my writing, so I understand that. But is that you did, like you're saying the film isn't about hating film critics, is about actually kind of almost a love letter to film critics, because you're saying like, I understand going through, I understand like how difficult your work is, and then it's also
embracing myself like I was too craving into analyzing images, and I got many you should not do that from fellows, but it's like okay, like just embracing. And then like you said, like so freeing Eunsu, like end of the movie, she will make another movie, like what you said, being freed, yeah. Inside of the audience who watched this film, yeah, yeah, it's so like connecting, yeah, yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I love that. I love that about the film. I honestly, as a film critic, I laughed. I thought the film was hilarious. And it was just like, there was a moment at the beginning, it was like, I'm offended, but not offended in a bad way, but it was kind of like in a joke. I'm like, I feel personally attacked because I'm like, this is about me, you know, like I've had a lot of the same thoughts that Dalshik had, you know, like I said, I doubted myself and I wondered if I'm being too critical, if I overanalyze films too much. Like there's something I always joke where one of the reasons I love talking to filmmakers and I love doing interviews is because I do wonder if, for instance, if a cup is just a cup or if the cup has meaning, you know? And so that's one of the reasons I love to do interviews, because I need to know. And I need to know what was this frame about, like why was this shot done in a particular way, you know, why was the cinematography and the lighting this way. And that's something Dalshik talks about a lot. He talks about the framing, you know, about the aspect ratio, and like if something is vertical, it's about the progression, and if it's horizontal. And like, I was like, this is me. Dalshik is me. So I thought the film was, I really enjoyed the film from that perspective, because it was like, I too am a Dalshik.
Yeah, me too.
I really enjoyed the film. Like, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, Yunmin. This was a great conversation. And thank you to your cat for making anime. Parents. So at the beginning you said you published a book. So what's next for you? Like, can tell people where they can find your book, or if perhaps is there a way to watch Apocalypse Runner online?
Okay. Let me introduce my book. I will bring it.
Yes, promote your book, please.
Actually, this book is not written by myself alone. This is the anthology of the short novel from five writers. They got award. They won award from Korea. So this is the it's like Korea Sci-Fi Literature Award. Awarded anthology like that, yeah. So six. So I won this award at the February. Thank you, February of this year. And then actually, I started this writing sci-fi novel because of the Apocalypse Runner. We talked about genre. I never thought that Apocalypse Runner considered as a sci-fi movie, but. Actually, like 3 years ago, there's a Korea Sci-Fi Award, including media. This was just another award. That award, Apocalypse Runner nominated by that award, and I got a little bit surprised that my movie was sci-fi, and then I got realized that it could be, and then I suddenly realized that the last movie I liked has some sci-fi sense in it. So I started writing sci-fi, and then so this one, like if you search about this in Korean bookshop online, you can order. Yeah. So so my book is, my short story is this one name is Samsara.
Oh, okay.
Samsara is the Sanskrit word about transmigration.
Transmigration. Oh,
like a little bit like after image, right? Gone, yeah. And Yeah, like we're talking about, yeah, like so samsara is a Sanskrit word about transmigration, and then so yeah, and there's me, like yeah. And so yeah, like it's about the story about the two AI character who are managing the spaceship on the journey of finding the second Earth. And then the main point is there was two spaceship like finding departure two different way to finding second Earth. And then in this spaceship there's no human being, just there's a facility that the breed new baby here, and then there's two AI managing it. And this spaceship, there's the all the human who survived till at the time, they are in this ship. So if this ship failed to finding the second Earth, if this ship did, then their plan is the breeding new baby in this spaceship, and then the soul of these people can transmigration by this ship, so they can reach it to second Earth. Yeah, yeah. So
Interesting.
that was their using transmigration, like saving the humankind. Yeah, there was a reason. Yeah, this was the main idea of this book. Yeah, so, and then I will send you the 60 theater, the previous of my movie. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, but yeah, it will be honor if we if you also watch that movie. Yeah, and
Sure.
then yeah, and then actually there's one website where the screening still screening this from the internet. It's the Incheon Independence film authorization, I guess. I will send you the link,
Okay.
but that one is actually the not the not the latest version, the well, complete edition, but still, yeah.
Okay, so there's an alternate version of the film then.
Yeah, like two version. I can say two version. Yeah,
Yeah.
the
Ooh.
previous version. The can you guess? Can you guess what was the scene included at the complete edition? There's one scene. Yeah.
If it's not the ending, the scene with the wife.
Right. Oh, so it's quite close. The missing scene from the previous version was the what was it? The Stargate scene from the
Oh, where
2000.
he enters in?
Yeah. Like
Oh, okay.
diving into the window, previous version, and then white out, and then enter to the desert again. There was the missing. And then I put this. There was my original. It was in the script, yeah. But I haven't read it at that time. And then I put that Stargate scene. Yeah, again.
I was thinking that and I doubted myself. Oh, before we go, I have to ask you the scene with the character I'm talking about to pronounce Ewan McGregor's name. I thought it was so funny, and it was just like I have to ask why Ewan McGregor of all of people.
So Ewan McGregor, Ewan is like the sounds same with the dying word in Korean. So Ewan, yeah. So it's like in the movie, it's another rule. Like when people are dying, like I love this much, and then I regret something, and then mostly that character say always say. Say enough,
Yeah.
Sometimes they couldn't finish the word, but they say enough. Yeah, like
yeah.
So like the Dongshik trying to like, hey, like saying the dying word, then you will not die till finish that line, and then the dying word called is yuan in Korea, so it sounds like yuan. So it's like, hey, to the dying word. It's like, hey, to yuan. And then he was like, actually, the dying character was a huge fan of Ewan McGregor. So it's like yuan, and then Ewan McGregor. I love him so much.
I thought that scene was funny because it's one of the funniest tropes, particularly in South Korean, even in dramas in particular. Like, someone will be dying and they have something to say, but instead of saying what they have to say, like, the characters are doing something else. And I'm always like, you guys are wasting time. Like, Su says the same thing. She was like, he needs treatment. And Dongshik is like, no, he has something to say. I'm like, if you treat him, he'll have more time to say what he needs to say. But yeah, I just thought that was funny. So I had to ask about it because it was hilarious.
It's possible. Yeah, you got the point. Yeah. And my next plan is that I made I had a contract of this book company. So mm-hmm. My book, so this one is an anthology of with mm-hmm. other writers. So my first book combined with my story, will publish it at the end of this year. Yeah.
Okay.
So I will working on that project, and then also I'm writing the script, the feature film script with the Korean film making company. And then I want to make another short film or another the first independent feature film next year. I want it. Yeah. So novel and script with company, and then short film or independent feature film will be my next move. Yeah.
Mm. So you're going to be very busy then. You're going to be very, yeah. Very busy.
Working on it, yeah.
Thank you so much again for talking to me, Yeonmin. This has been so much fun, and I'm glad that I got more insight into the film. And I hope that I'm able to see your next projects, and if I can get the book in one day translated in English, I will definitely get it. And my Korean is not nearly enough to read an entire book unless I have a dictionary to read word for word. I can read Hangul, but I don't know enough to read the whole story, but I hope to one day be able to read it.
Okay, I will work hard.